A number of you listeners requested that Martin and I sat down and spoke in more detail about the episodes that we're releasing. So in response to those requests, today is the launch of our new monthly roundup podcast format. This type of format will be released, yes, you guessed it, monthly. And the idea behind it is to dive deeper into the highlights from the episodes in the previous month. So with that said, here is number one. And in this episode, we speak about how Bricks and Bytes started, some of our personal favorite highlights, and where we are going. If you're enjoying our podcast, you can support us by heading over to www.bricksbytes.show and signing up to our newsletter. And now, an announcement from our sponsor, Shift. BIM often feels overwhelming for contractors. That's why this episode is brought to you by Shift. They'll help you tackle all your digital needs from 3D BIM modeling to BIM strategy and beyond. Visit makethesftdigital for more information.
So, Martin, why did you decide to wear your Bricks and Bytes t-shirt to your client meeting today?
I was not in the client meeting today, actually. I was earlier around 8.30 a.m.
Doing what?
When you were sleeping.
I was awake.
I was in the basement, actually. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I put a project in Streatham as a new basement, which has been open for a year now. And the basement, I actually posted on LinkedIn, the basement doesn't have any reinforcement in walls and floors.
So the new basement?
New basement. So it's basically a miracle that it hasn't collapsed yet.
So you've created a new basement. You designed it without reinforcement in it and it's still standing.
No, I didn't design. I was asked to rescue it.
So someone else designed it?
Someone else designed it.
No.
Yes.
Wait, someone else designed it, then someone else built it?
Someone, so a structural engineer designed it, and a crappy builder built it, ran away, and there's another builder now trying to fix it.
Name and shame.
But they don't know what they're doing.
Name and shame.
Build? It's called build.
Oh, shit. Nice. So what Bricks and Bytes t-shirt to a basement with no reinforcement.
That's right, yeah. What time did you get up today?
Me, 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Usual. Yeah, woke up feeling actually not great today, so didn't end up doing my usual
routine.
Yeah,
you look shit, actually.
It's the lights. Done my usual thing. And I was actually at a client meeting as well this morning, which is a very tricky project. Mm-hmm. We have a tricky situation. It's my responsibility, right? Costs, but costs are the issues. We have a bit of a contract.
So you underestimated?
No, not underestimated. It's very complicated. I think the issue is that we have a contract that doesn't align with the design that has been put together. So everything is like...
So you're blaming it on engineering now?
Additional costs. No, I think I am honestly, truly, partially to blame for it. But hey, we all...
You're going to close the company now?
No. I decided
I'm sure you guys get out of it, yeah?
Anyway, what are you doing?
What am I doing?
Today, what are we doing?
Oh, today. So, Owen is going to tell a little bit about himself, as he likes talking about himself. And then we were going to give you a breakdown of what we think, what we learned from Bricks and Bytes, and where we want to go with Bricks and Bytes as well.
Yeah. What do you want me to tell you about myself? I think I just told you.
So let's skip this part then.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go straight. So this new format, so this comes from the request of a number of people being audience members, but also people being more strategic, telling us that you need to do this. So what we have decided to do, and we will be continuing this format at least once per month, is to sit down and review what has happened in the previous month.
Yeah,
and the guests and any kind of key insights that we've had.
So how do you want to start? It's been 2 years since Bricks and Bytes. So which month do you want to talk about?
2 years. Do you remember what happened roughly 2 years ago today?
Yeah, we had a chat by Thames walking in Kingston.
So yeah, we were walking along the Thames.
Yeah, we were walking along Thames. And
Thames.
I remember Thames, Tamiza. And we were chatting about, well, we were probably complaining, right? About construction technology, how narrow-minded it is.
Sounds like someone who works in construction.
Yes, exactly. And we came up with an idea to start talking to people smarter than us about what's happening in the industry or at this higher level than we are, really.
Yeah, that's not very difficult to find, right?
No.
Yeah, so 2 years, I remember that time where you came around. This was before when we were ideating about the podcast. In fact, I think we thought about starting the podcast like 6 months earlier, and then we just never done it. And then something probably happened. I think it was around Christmas, and you have some time off and your brain starts giving you all these, like, you start thinking about things, right? And we was like, come on, let's do this. And we had a whiteboard out in my home office, and we were scribbling on the whiteboard names, ideas, and we just said, let's do a podcast on construction tech. Mm-hmm. What was going through your mind at that point?
Well, everything and nothing, really.
Sounds like a normal day for you.
Everything and nothing, because obviously you don't know what you don't know, my favorite saying. So we didn't know what we want. We wanted to learn. We wanted to talk to smarter people than us. And we knew that we wanted to figure out some edge in the construction. So something which is not our day to day. Yeah, so probably that was what was in my head. What about you?
Same. I think for me, we're obviously two younger people in the construction world. We both have businesses and we met through our previous business ventures. Mm. And
shout out to BNI. Global.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, that's where we met. So
BNI, connecting people.
they were dark days, middle of COVID. I have a funny story if you want to hear it about the first BNI meeting I ever went to.
Okay.
So I was logged in on my laptop, and this was when I was just sort of embarking in the construction world. Mm-hmm. Business world, like going self-employed.
Yes.
And at the time I was employed by someone else, so yes. I felt a little bit bad. I was like, I'm doing on this self-employed thing, like behind my employer's back. Mm-hmm. And you do naturally feel like you're loyal to your employer, but it was COVID and there was a lot of weird shit going on.
Yeah.
And I remember coming into the meeting and
like, meeting online. Yeah?
Yeah, you know, it's like everyone's there and they start chatting and then you get thrown in a room with two people you never met before. Mm-hmm. And when I logged in...
And you didn't do any networking in the past, probably?
This was it. Uh-huh. And I literally started a business like maybe 2 months before that. Probably didn't have many clients, so I was definitely winging it. Mm-hmm. And logged in and my internet cut out. And I was like so freaking nervous, like at the time, I was just like,
committing a crime.
I could barely do it. And then I was just like, no, internet's cut. I'm not joining. I'm not rejoining. And I was so close. You know, you have those moments in your life where you're like, if I had done the other thing, mm-hmm. I don't think I would be here right now. And I was like, felt horrible. I was like, I'm not logging back in. That was really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, I've got to do it. So I logged back in and then the rest is history.
The question is, how much of this guilt was in your head that you would let down your friend Jamie, who invited you to sub for him? Or how much would that be you blaming yourself that you didn't take the chance that could be like opening for you? What was, you didn't want to?
Well, actually, Jamie didn't. This was on my own back. So.
Okay.
So I don't think I can answer that. But anyway, the question that we were discussing how the podcast started. So yeah, we met there and we were both young business owners and we were also interested in tech, right? Mm. And we was just like, let's speak to people smarter than us. And we both got construction businesses. Why don't we try and merge the two together into some kind of format?
Yes.
And lo and behold, I think a credit to you for coming up with the name as well.
And also like, what is interesting is like when I was noticing other industries like finance, like there are lots of, we were talking about venture a little bit, right? But there were lots of like investments within technology or fintech, for example, and other industries. But I have never, being in the industry for like 10 years, more than 10 years at that time, I've not heard anyone like speaking about technology in construction, right? Advancing the way people work, they design, etc. So it was like bizarre, actually.
It was. I think that kind of like emphasizes or makes me realize a bit how much tech in construction has come on just since we started this podcast. Mm. Because at the start, it wasn't really talked about. Maybe there's a little bit of mental bias, in here. Yeah, well. Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's also very trendy. And I suppose we'll get onto some of the numbers that sort of iterate that point, being where the opportunity is right now. But going back to the origins, I think this is also another kind of funny story. It was when we first recorded the episode. Do you remember how you were feeling that day? Were you nervous?
First episode with Brian?
Yeah.
Honestly, it was weird, right? Because why was it weird? I think I didn't know what I didn't know. So again, I just felt very shy doing that. Yeah, like asking questions was very unnatural. And there was probably more obligation than curiosity, right? Especially at the beginning of the episode. Yeah, so that was very stiff, I'm sure. Mm. What do you think?
Well, same. Definitely nervous. I remember going for a walk before we'd done the podcast and I was like, oh my goodness. Comfort level was like beyond.
Yeah, but it was also protective. I don't know, because it was online, so it didn't.
You still feel the pressure though.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And funny you say that.
But it was Brian. We know Brian.
And Brian's a friend
as well. So.
But what's also funny, and I don't know if you remember this, we recorded that first episode twice. Because we'd done the first recording, I think I don't know what happened specifically, but we definitely had some technical issues. I think some things were said in the podcast which were just factually wrong.
I don't know. I can't.
So anyway, we had to re-record. Yeah. And then we released first episode April 22. So first episode was recorded originally in January or Feb, and then we re-recorded it like March, April, and released it in April. And do you have any...
No.
Maybe it's a leading question. So what I was going to say is, when you release episode one of mm-hmm. a podcast, mm-hmm. you don't realize that you can't just release one episode of a podcast. Once you release one, that's it. The clock is ticking forever, right?
Yes. So you need to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think we've been pretty good in not letting it go. So I've been probably traveling a little bit more than you in these 2 years. So I've missed a few, but you missed one or two recently as well.
Yeah, well, life gets in the way. There is a benefit of definitely having two people.
Yes,
which is good.
All right, let's get into the
juice.
Yeah.
So enough of that. Broadly speaking, we were in a place of talking about broad construction tech. This is where we've been for the last couple of years.
Yes.
But we're now looking to focus our efforts. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So my thoughts on that is that a lot of various people within construction, startup owners, consultants, people who spread money, venture capitalists, again, consultants. And I think one of the favorite group of people for me were startup owners or people who spin the business. Yeah. And also venture capitalists, because I found them very smart in a sense that they vested interest in the company's success, and they have economical, financial knowledge and investment knowledge and specific knowledge about the startup or industry they invest in. So they are very smart, very sharp, and I found them very stimulating. So we are going to focus more on venture capitalists and startup owners moving on.
Yeah, for at least definitely for the next few months, see where that takes us.
Yeah.
And I reflect your thoughts here. I think that the episodes we had with the venture capitalists or the VCs were, because I guess part of what they do is requires them to have such unique and specialist knowledge in the companies they're investing in. So we found that they were providing extremely good value for our audience.
Yes. And also learning how it all works, right? If there is, so these two groups, investors and all startups, they fuel each other, right? So the investors fuel startups with money for growth, for scalability of their product, service, or idea. And on the other hand, startup owners fuel VCs with ideas, right? That they can pour money into and allow the technology to spread and grow, or construction to spread and grow as an industry as well and to advance. Yeah. So I think this is very, very good connection.
Mm. It's worth mentioning as well, we've talked to, I don't think it's roughly 10 VCs so far,
mm-hmm.
but I have a question for you. If you could interview any venture capitalist in the world, who would it be?
I listen to a few, and I would give this one, Vinod Khosla.
very good. Okay.
He has my favorite saying, one of my favorite saying, which says, nothing solid happens in the solid core, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you understand that?
Nothing solid happens in a solid core.
Yes.
So like the core will always stay the same, yeah?
So yes, exactly. It's solid, it's difficult to move it, it's difficult to advance it, change it. So as long as the moment the core is solid, then it just doesn't change, doesn't allow for...
Is that a good thing?
It is. I think it depends, right? If we're talking about startups and evolution of the industry, it's nice to be at this place, to have this solid core and have like solid revenues, et cetera. But from the startup point of view, you want to get there to IPO, to have a large business operate on each of the continents, et cetera. So it is a good thing ultimately, but the evolution of things, I believe, comes out of this startup, the venture part of it, right? That's where the change happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I'm not sure. What do you think?
He's a venture capitalist saying that solid cores will always be solid, but he's investing in things.
Solid core, right?
Necessarily be solid.
So he said that...
His sayings don't have to relate to his profession, right? I get the point. Okay, so that's where we're going, and we have some exciting guests lined up. Talk about them later on. But talking of guests we've had on so far, I've written down I don't want to say as top five, because I would be excluding a lot of great people, but five that stick with me and probably I had the best insights from. So how about you, Martin?
Do I have my favorite five? I wouldn't say favorite five. I wouldn't say that I have favorite five. I mean, you can always learn from someone, from everyone, from each of them, I meant. I think my favorite subjects are really the startups and the entrepreneurship within this, and the venture capitalists are my favorite kind of subjects within that. So I probably could resonate with those who are talking about this, right? There's lots of technicalities within construction technology, like with every technology. So, and we are not experts in those technologies, right? I don't know. VR.
How many did we see the other day? At least 50 different verticals.
Yes.
And that was last year. So
yes,
there will be more. And do you know what interests me about construction tech is no one can agree on what the verticals are. Mm. And every, even VCs and research subject matter experts, whatever you want to call them, they all have different ways of categorizing and classifying construction tech.
So on the episode with Patrick Hellerman, we had the unicorns, right? How many models of unicorns were there? Five?
Maybe five or six.
Five, yes. So five models, which means that what? That these unicorns happen to be created within these five verticals, right? Is that, So you can have five, you can have 50 as well. It depends where you look and how granular to get into.
Yeah, I think from the business model perspective, within the five we talked about, there's probably others that are sort of like sub mm-hmm. sectors within those models. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is where the number.
But what is also worth to say, well, interesting to say that we interviewed C-suite executives in the largest construction tech
unicorn.
Well, it's not unicorn.
No. Would it be largest?
It is. No, actually not, because Autodesk, I think, is the largest.
Yeah.
But obviously, I'm talking about Procore, which is 11 billion valuation, 11 something billion valuation now. It was 8 in October.
Yeah, exactly. So when we were there in September, and we were in the taxi on the way home, and you're like, I wonder what that company's valued at. And you're like, oh my God, we just interviewed the C-suite of an $8 billion company. Yeah. That sounds kind of cool.
And 5 months after, it's 11.
Continuously growing as well. So future VCs, who do we have lined up over the next few months? We have got... Next Friday, actually, so that will be the 22nd of March. We're recording this on the 13th. We have Lisa Diaz of Turf Advisory. Martin, you met Lisa. What are you most excited about talking to her about?
So general knowledge about investing and how and her angle of investing in construction tech, because I think she spent like 20 years in as a director in Goldman Sachs. So she definitely knows her stuff. And now she is in construction tech as a consultant. So she has plenty of interesting stuff for us, I'm sure.
We also have some people from GS Futures. Aaron, shout out to Aaron Topston. Greg from PropTech, and I'm excited to interview him, and I will mention this to him on a podcast, which is quite funny. But I mentioned that we have been speaking to maybe all of the best VCs in the world of I know they're more PropTech focused, construction tech focused, however you want to look at that. Some have very strong views on the line between the two. Some say they're more aligned. McKinsey article mentions that. I kind of see them as two separate things. But anyway, to my point, Greg was saying, well, you save the best till last. So I would like to find out why AO is the best. And I'm sure it was tongue in cheek. I think it'll be a good way to break the ice.
Are they construction tech or prop tech?
Prop tech. But I'm sure they invest in startups that have, I don't know, but I'm sure they invest in startups that have some kind of relationship with the construction industry.
What do you want to get out of the series?
Of the series
when we will be interviewing this venture capitalists?
For me, it's mostly kind of how we do things before, right? It's really to understand. I think we need to understand, I would like to say we understand the broad landscape at the moment.
Yeah.
But there's obviously a lot of nuance, and these are very complex. Like, these are businesses, right? So there's like dynamics within a VC business we probably need to try and understand. Mm. There's the dynamics of the industry. For me personally, I would like to focus more on the industry and the unique insights these people have. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, in our episode with Patrick Hellerman, there were a lot of unique insights, robotics and the future model of unicorns and those kind of things. So I would like to dig a little bit deeper into each of these people and see what can they give us that other people can't.
On the example of Patrick's episode, what's the thing that you got out of it, like the most like interesting thing for you, or like the statistic, because he was throwing a lot of numbers.
Yes.
What was the most
so
compelling?
For me, we have, if you take construction as a total figure of the gross domestic, so GDP of the globe, it's like I think it's roughly 14 trillion or something as a value, but which equates to 10% of the overall global GDP. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Construction as an industry. When you look at VC funding in construction, it's something like 1% of the total landscape. Mm-hmm. So there is a big gap there. He never said that the VC funding is going to go from 1 to 10%.
Yeah.
But there's ground to be made.
Yeah, because other industries have done that, right? Or
Well, so like if you think about it, basically 10% of global GDP should mean that 10% of all venture capital funds are deployed into construction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Simplistically. But what his prediction is, if we're at 1% now, we have going to make headway to 10%, which means that essentially within the next 3 to 5 years, it will continue to double. So if you're building a construction tech startup, I think it's a very, very exciting time. Also, if you're...
Money is coming.
If you're in it for the money, I mean, there's a,
I mean,
a whole separate
from the startup's point of view, right? You said if you are building a construction tech startup, right? So
mm-hmm. How about you? From Patrick's episode, what were your favorite takeaways in terms of the
This number that he said that from the year zero to 2019, there was...
year zero?
Zero, yeah. BC or however you call it in English, right? You had $4 billion invested in construction technology. And from year 2019 to 2023, there were 30 billion. So that gives us, 7.5x within 4 years, more than it was in 2019 years, right? So it just shows how rapidly funding is expanding within construction technology. And yeah, it's going to bring lots of very good businesses, lots of very bad businesses, and also lots of very good businesses, I'm sure.
If you were a founder coming into construction tech, where would you build a business?
So my favorite, you know my favorite. So so me working on small, medium-sized residential commercial projects, I would love to have a tool that I can speak to and it can design, it can design for me, or at least be like an assistant.
That's because you're lazy.
Efficient. What would you do? What would you build?
Wait, if you were talking to this machine, mm-hmm. where in the world would you be doing it from?
I can't disclose that. where I would be doing this from? Are you asking where do you want to move? Or where? Well, anywhere really, because...
No, I think maybe I've actually thought something else when I asked that. Would it even be you speaking to it?
Not really, right? Because I think that would be more designer's role. So someone who is actively designing the thing. My role with my business is more business development. Not only, obviously, but I would say... it's designer's role, right? But so tool like that would definitely 10x the output, the design, right? The speed of the design. And obviously the engineer would have to be a clued up engineer and someone who is competent within what they do, so they can check and supervise the tool, right? But that's just thinking about like something which would be out of the blue. Is it the right way to say it? Or no, something completely out of dreamland.
Yeah. Well, it's probably going to happen. Yeah. Do you ask for a rebar to be designed within the concrete of the basement?
Rebar? To what?
Reinforcement?
Definitely, yes.
Nice.
What about you?
For me?
Okay, I focus on like very thing that I do. You focus on something more broad, like what is missing in construction?
In construction?
On the broader...
I think what's super exciting, again, I wasn't going to caveat, there's definitely some mental bias kicking in here, but robots, like... This is super exciting. I think I've had even like my childhood, not trauma, but experiences with robots. Watching Terminator, for example, with my dad at the age of maybe like young, maybe less than 10 years old. And seeing that kind of, I suppose, where this thing sparks. And then there were films. Did you ever watch iRobot with Will Smith?
I didn't have much childhood in terms of watching.
You're watching Polish TV, right?
No. Well, yes, I'm sure, yeah.
You're watching Borat.
Fox Kids. Anyway.
Yeah. So, robots. I think that's just a super exciting time. I think, it's still early days for a lot of robot stuff.
Is it early days?
Well, you don't really see, have you ever seen a robot on a construction site?
A robot on the construction site?
Have you?
Have I?
Have you?
No. No. So again, Patrick said something interesting about the robots, right? And about the P&L.
Yeah.
And that...
The activity they're doing has to be directly related to an item on the
bill, budget. Yeah. So that's very valid, like for founders, I think, right? Now, not to focus on something which is not on the P&L of the project, but something that is part of the P&L and directly can tackle one item of the P&L. So,
yeah.
But I think...
service and not the robot is also an insight that I know there's the guys at Fundamental have, is like, don't sell the robot itself, sell the bricklaying that the robot is doing.
What is it? OH10? No. What's the company? That's...
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, who else we have coming up over the next few months? We have Parker from Suffolk Tech, Yanis from Plug and Play, Austin from Heartland. And then we also, do you want to mention to people about this super series that we have lined up?
Super series. Which one?
The one with venture capitalists.
Well, yes. So what you were just building on is that these venture capitalists would then contribute to the super series that we want to record with them. Still working on the kind of agenda and like what would be valuable for people, especially for startup founders, to know about venture capitalists, how they can like leverage this knowledge while building products. Yeah, what else should I say?
That's it really. I think we're spending some longer hours with people to really dive into the detail. So for people really interested, maybe even people building in the construction tech space, they'll want to be checking those episodes out when they come out, and it should be released hopefully within summer this year if it all goes to plan. Mm-hmm. Shall we also mention the weekly newscast that we're going to be piloting, I should say, in the next couple of weeks, and what that might entail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're planning to have weekly catch up with Patrick from Fundamentals about what happened last week really in construction technology from his point of view, and that will be recording on Fridays, but I don't know when this will be released on the weekly basis yet.
TBC, but makes sense to do it weekly. What news on that note, and maybe we'll end on this point, but what are you excited about? What's happened recently that's got you excited, and you can't say the all-time high of Bitcoin?
Okay, let's keep this one. What do you mean, work-wise or not necessarily?
Anything.
Okay, well, so I read this interesting thing about, I've got it somewhere, pbctoday.co.uk. They had an article that 41% of architects in the UK are using AI for their work, right? So I wouldn't agree with that. At least I don't see that happening in terms of the design work. They might be using it to write emails, proposals, whatever, but I really struggle to see 41% of architects that I know do designs via large language models. So, but assuming that that's true and they design, 41% of them design it, then what does it say? It says to us that 2 years ago, the technology which was introduced to the broader scale of market 2 years ago has now captured 41% of this total addressable market of architects in that case, right? No?
To me, it sounds like the article just wanted you to click on it. Suckers like you to go, oh.
Well, so that is then not good, right? You should not be writing.
Well, I think there's a few things to dissect. So, what AI are they using? Is it even AI?
Yeah, but assuming that that's true and that's factual, right? What it means? It probably means that in 2, 3, 5 years, it will be 90% of them using it. Right. And what it means then further is like how the work life of an architect or engineer or QS, whoever the consultant you can put in there, will look like.
Yeah.
It definitely will change dramatically, absolutely dramatically, especially for those who don't have to have super creative, who don't have super creative tasks. And yeah, also what will it do, fee structure, how much designs will cost and the services will cost? Yeah, because technology should be driving the value towards zero.
Yeah, I think we all know that AI threatens white collar workers the most. We shall see. So with that, do we end?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it.
How do you say thank you in
Where can people find more about you?
Yeah. LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything we haven't asked you that I should have?
Oh, me? No, I'm good. Thanks.
You're good. All right, cool. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.